Hi, my name is Bhupinder, and today I will be talking about optimization of nitrogen and phosphorus release rates from rendered animal products using natural amendments. First, little bit background. As we all know, after Green Revolution, we are heavily reliant on inorganic fertilizers. And inorganic fertilizers have some potential drawbacks, such as these are energy intensive. About 36 gigajoule of energy is required to produce 1 ton of ammonia, and these are unsustainable. Means, for example, the rock phosphate, which is a potential source of phosphorus, is about expected to be depleted within next 50 to 100 years. And from crop perspective, the nutrient release out of fertilizers is out of sync with the crop demand. Means they release nutrient at initial stages, while there is not enough nutrients for the later stages. And because they have impact on soil chemical properties, so they also have negative impact on soil health. And they also cause environmental pollution such as denitrification and other losses, such as nitrification leaching. And so, as we know, organic fertilizers somehow cause environmental pollution. And we are also dealing with a huge amount of agriculture byproducts. If we are not going to recycle those products, we are ultimately going to end up in landfill, and those are also going to cause the environmental pollution. So one solution could be the integrated nutrient management. Means supplement the inorganic fertilizers with the organic material in proceeding one step towards building a sustainable system. So basically, the organic manures are classified into two broad categories. The bulky organic manure, they usually contain 1 to 2% nitrogen, and they are further subdivided into the farmyard manure and town compost and green manure, of course. And then the second category is concentrated organic manures, about 5 to 8% nitrogen. And these are oil cakes, non-edible, blood meal, meat and bone meal, and others. Others like feather meal, fish meal. And during my talk, I will be focusing on meat and bone meal. Every year, we are producing a huge amount of meat and bone meal. About 2.8 million metric tons of meat and bone meal is produced every year in the United States. And these are also a rich source of nitrogen, phosphorus, and other macro and micronutrients. And because of appearance of bovine spongiform encephalopathy in the livestock feeding with meat and bone meal, their use as feeding to feeding the livestock is prohibited in EU and some of the other countries. So we need to find the alternative source of these materials. Mineralization dynamics for every organic material are important. So mineralization dynamics of meat and bone meal are not well studied yet. And if we are not going to study those, we are ultimately going to lose the nutrients and also going to cause the pollution. We also need to control the mineralization of these materials. And we also need to find the optimum dose to supplement the inorganic fertilizers. So based on this background, I formulated some objectives of my study. The first objective was testing the meat and bone meal mineralization dynamics with and without sulfur in two different soils, and then testing those results in a greenhouse study with maize as a test crop. Then testing the aminization and nitrification control potential of tannins, neem and karanja. We used 10% tannins of the meat and bone meal application rate and 20% neem and karanja. So for the first objective, we did a lab incubation study in which we used two soils, one from the organic field and one from the conventional agriculture field. And we did the lab incubation at constant temperature and humidity. And we incubated the soil for 15 days. And then after 15 days, we harvested the soil. And then to study the pots, we did a greenhouse study. Pots are filled with soil thoroughly mixed with meat and bone meal and sulfur. Sulfur here used was 15%. Of the meat and bone meal application rate. Maize plants were harvested after 40 days. And to fulfill the third objective, we again did a lab incubation study in which soil of conventional field was used and meat and bone meal was amended with neem, karanja and tannins. This lab incubation, we harvested the soil at two different time points, 6 and 60 days after harvesting. The material with which I am dealing for my research has about 8% nitrogen, about 10% phosphorus, about 25% calcium, and approximately about 1% potassium, sulfur, and magnesium, and also micronutrients. From the first lab incubation study, we measured the ammonia and nitrate content of the soil after 15 days. And in this graph, the x-axis represents the organic soil and conventional soil, and the y-axis represents the ammonia microgram per gram soil, dry soil. And black bar represents the control without sulfur, the gray bars control with sulfur, the blue bars MBM without sulfur, and the red bar MBM with sulfur. And as we can see, the conventional soil with meat and bone meal and sulfur has higher ammonia content as compared to the other treatments. However, sulfur is effective in maintaining the high amount of ammonia in this soil. And we also saw that the more than 50% of the meat and bone meal applied to the soil is mineralized within first 15 days of incubation. And then we measure the nitrate content. The trend in the nitrate is little bit reverse as compared to the ammonia. The highest nitrate content was observed with meat and bone meal without sulfur in organic field soil. However, the sulfur is effective in decreasing the nitrification rate by 95% in organic soil and about 60% in conventional soil, but that is not significant because of the immobilization of the nitrate in the conventional soil. Then for the second greenhouse study, we measure the plant biomass and microbial population. And in this graph, the x-axis represents the without sulfur, and with sulfur, 15% of the meat and bone meal applied. And the y-axis represents the plant biomass, gram per plant. And black bar represents the control, blue bar represents the meat and bone meal, which is applied at 5 ton per hectare rate. Red bar represents the inorganic fertilizer, just to compare the effect of meat and bone meal. And as we can see, the highest meat, the plant biomass was observed with meat and bone meal and inorganic fertilizers after 40 days of plant. And however, sulfur is not good for the plant at higher rate. It decreased the plant biomass, and in some of the replicates, plants almost died. And then we measure the plant soil microbial population to see the effect of these treatments. The bacterial population was higher in meat and bone meal applied, which is statistically at par with control. However, inorganic fertilizer somehow is not good for the bacterial population. Inorganic fertilizer significantly reduced the soil bacterial population. And similar trend was found with the soil fungal population. So somehow inorganic fertilizer is detrimental to the soil microbial population. So from the third lab incubation study, we again measure the ammonia and nitrate content at 6 and 16 days after harvesting. And in this graph, the x-axis represents the control and meat and bone meal, and y-axis represents the ammonia microgram per gram dry soil. The black bar represents without amendment. The gray bar represents neem, 20% of the meat and bone meal applied. The blue bar represents the karanja, 20% meat and bone meal applied. And red bar represents the 10% meat and bone meal applied. We we saw that the highest ammonia content at 6 days was found without amendment in meat and bone meal and neem and karanja amendment. But tannin is effective in decreasing the initial ammonification rate about 40% at 6 days, and treatment effect was similar at 16 days after harvesting. However, the ammonia content at 16 days was quite low as compared to the 6 days after harvesting. And tannin, the ammonia content in tannin is also lower here. Then we measure the nitrate content. And here, at the 6 days, there is not enough nitrate. Even nitrate with meat and bone meal is lower as compared to the control. And that might be because of the immobilization of the soil nitrate for the decomposition of the meat and bone meal. But at 16 days, the highest nitrate content was observed with tannins, which is higher. Which is, however, neem and karanja was effective in decreasing the nitrification rate with meat and bone meal about 44%, 44 and 43% respectively. Then we measure the soil respiration, and in this graph, the x-axis represents the days after incubation. The y-axis represents the cumulative CO2 evolved from the soil. And pink bar line represents the meat and bone meal alone. The blue bar represents the meat and bone meal with the neem, 20%. The red line represents the meat and bone meal with karanja, 20%. And blue bar represents the meat and bone meal with tannins. Black represents meat and bone meal with tannins. And the highest soil CO2 evolved was found with the meat and bone meal amended with neem and karanja. However, the CO2 evolved with tannins is lower as compared to the other four. However, which is not significant, which is statistically at par with meat and bone meal alone. So based on these results, we formulated some of the conclusions. More than 50% of the meat and bone meal was mineralized within first 15 days of incubation. Sulfur is effective in decreasing the nitrification rate and maintaining the higher level of ammonia in the soil. Sulfur used as amendment is toxic to the plant and decreased plant growth, especially at higher rates. Tannins are effective in controlling the mineralization of meat and bone meal and making it less labile for the microbes. And neem and karandja at higher rate are effective in controlling the meat and bone meal nitrification rate and also increase the soil microbial activity. At the end, I would like to thank Thuria Lab Group, Clemson University, USDA, and NSF. Thank you. Actually, we are not using neem oil. We are using neem cake, neem and karandja cake, which is they use the neem and they extracted the oil. The remaining materials, we are using those remaining materials.
Why did you select those?
Can you repeat the question, please? Recording.
Question of what?
I'll repeat the question.
What question is?
The question is, why did you select neem and then what would they come?
Okay, because question is why we selected neem and karandja for the amendments. Because in the literature, it's reported that neem and karandja cake is effective in decreasing the nitrification rate. They have some properties, means there are some chemicals. I'm not particularly sure about what kind of chemicals those, but that is reported in the literature. So based on that, we selected. And tannins we selected because it is reported that tannins somehow bind with the proteins of the organic molecules. So they make the organic compounds less labile for the microbes. So based on that, we selected those.
What was the rate of sulfur that you added, and what form of sulfur did you add?
Sulfur, elemental sulfur. And in the lab incubation, we tested it from 2% to 25%. I am showing only results for 25%. But we tested it from 2 to 25%. Initial problem was the increase in pH of the soil, because within 4 or 8 days, so the pH of the soil increased from 4 to 8. So then we tried to bring down the pH to its initial level. So we tested different amounts of sulfur. That is the elemental form. And 25% in the lab incubation and 15% in the 50% of meat and bone meal application in the greenhouse study. Yeah.
So probably not related to your project. I've heard Indian government asking the farmer to use neem tree.
Yeah.
So can you give a little more information about that?
Actually, it is called the slow release nitrogen fertilizers. They are coating the neem with the urea with the neem oil. So now government passed a resolution that all the nitrogen that will be available, means urea that will be available in the India, is going to be neem coated urea.
100% or is
more than? I'm not sure about the how much it is going to be neem coated urea. Not sure about these policies, but I heard that news, means it's going to be. So it is same benefit, means it's decreasing the nitrification rate. So that's why, because most of the urea is used in the paddy fields, and one of the drawback of urea in the paddy field is the nitrate leaching. So that's to decrease that.
So I have a question. Are you aware of any field trials that have tested the neem or the tannins and actually reduced the nitrogen loss?
Yesterday I saw a poster on that. And there are quite a field experiments also, and in India, before this slow release nitrogen fertilizers, I didn't see any organic material amended with these materials, but inorganic urea and other inorganic fertilizers, there are quite a experiments on that. And it is reported that these materials are effective in decreasing the nitrification rate.
Okay, well, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you. Thank you very much.